Welcome to the College Audition Podcast with your host, nationally renowned college audition coach, Tim Evanicki.
Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with the College Audition, back again with another episode of the College Audition Podcast. Today, my special guest is Tim Howard, Associate Professor and Head of the BFA Musical Theater Program at Western Connecticut State University. Thanks so much for joining us today, Tim.
Thanks for having me. A pleasure.
So we always like to get to know the person before the program. So if you could first give us a little bit of your background and career that led you up to your time at Western Connecticut State University.
Sure, I'd be happy to speak to you about that. I'm originally from Ohio, and so I started my training at Baldwin Wallace Conservatory. I was accepted as both a classical voice major as well as a classical piano major, and chose voice because I really wanted to do musical theater, but it was before that was a big program, and so which it is obviously at that school now. So I did that and then started working professionally. I moved to Boston and did master's training at New England Conservatory in the opera program there, but then started working with an acting coach, and within a couple months actually had my first equity job at Merrimack Rep. And so just continued on that track. So I was in Boston for 4 years and got a lot of experience underneath my belt as an actor, singer. And then it was a pleasure there too, because I was doing both plays and musicals, because Boston was not really heavily into musicals as much, so I got a lot of training really by doing in regional theater. And then moved to New York and was ready to take it by storm, and promptly lost all my hair and went from from being an Alfred Drake, you know, leading man, Howard Keel, to going a casting director saying, we don't know what to do with him now. And so in the meantime, somebody heard me play classical piano, and I got offered doing music directing Evita at Act One Arena. And that kind of launched then this other aspect of my career as a music director. I started having a lot of success that way, and then that took me to just staying in New York as a vocal coach. In the meantime, in my early 30s, then kind of figured out that I could reinvent myself. If Madonna could do it, I could do it. And figured out that I could be my own version of a leading man, but also a character man. And so I started working basically nonstop at that point in most of the regional theaters across the country, until I had a really strong, a big break, and got to work with Hal Prince twice, where he directed me in both the Broadway tour of Showboat and then also in Parade, which was also conducted by Jason Robert Brown. And we had Alfred Dury in the room and Pat Birch. And so that was amazing. But what was amazing about that was that it led me to really mentoring under him to hone my directing skills. And that's kind of what launched it. And then only then I realized I started working for Marymount Manhattan as an adjunct, and then went and led a BFA program in the Midwest for 5 years, came back to New York, and now I'm in my seventh year heading the BFA Musical Theater Program at Western Connecticut State University. Oh, wow. So there's the abridged version.
And have you been head of the program since you came to Western Connecticut State? Awesome. Great. Great. So in addition to being head of the program, which classes or directing responsibilities do you have there? When will the kids interact with you?
Yeah. So they actually interact with me quite a bit. We have a very select program, as we only take 16 per incoming class for the BFA Musical Theater. But I also teach straight acting to the acting performance majors, as well as musical theater. I direct 1 to 2 shows per year, as well as direct the senior showcase. I also teach, in addition to acting, too, I teach music theater workshop, advanced music theater workshop, audition techniques, which is really just for straight acting, to that's in the senior year, to really let our students hone their craft and get used to the idea of being out there and really being better auditioners. Then I also teach transition workshop in the final semester, which is really just bridging the world from academia to the professional world of show business. So they learn about everything from how to do your taxes to IRAs to how to get an agent. Those are some of the classes I teach.
Great. So switching gears now to talk a little bit more about the program and start to get into that, I always ask my guests to give us your elevator pitch, your elevator speech on the program. So 60 seconds or less. I don't really time you, but just give us a summary as to why students should be looking at Western Connecticut State University's BFA Musical Theater Program.
Okay, go. So this is a fairly new program. It's only been a BFA Musical Theater program for 6 years now. And in those 6 years, 4 out of the 6 years, we have won top national honors with the Kennedy Center American College Theater Festival. And that's for musicals that that we've done, that I've directed. And so that has really put us on the map. In addition, we were selected as kind of the premier Connecticut school. And so we got funding to have a $98 million facility, state of the art. Our theater is not to be believed. I couldn't believe it when I actually interviewed. I was like, okay. What we could do there was amazing. We also have a black box. So the facility is amazing as well. And in addition, we have, because of our close vicinity to New York, it's just a little over an hour away, we have amazing professionals that teach for us. Most of us have worked consistently in the Broadway community for years, and between our faculty members, we have Emmy, Tony Award, and Drama Desk awards. So I'm really honored and actually inspired by the faculty that I actually teach with as well.
Great. Well, you touched on lots of things we're going to dig into in more depth later in the podcast, but let's first start with if you can sort of give us an overview of the track that would be taken by an incoming freshman, their first year on campus. What does that first year look like as far as training for them?
So in their first semester, they would have Acting One, they would have Musical Theater Workshop with me, they would have Musicianship for the full year with my colleague, Justin Cowan. They would have Ballet and Jazz, and Ballet has started with Elizabeth Parkinson. And then usually she teaches the jazz, but sometimes we have Marianne Lamb as well, who has like 10 Broadway shows to her resume as well. And we have a weekly gathering for our music theater students, which is MT Studio, where they all rotate and get to go up in front of each other and try out new material and get feedback from myself and Justin. They would also have performance techniques. That's in their second semester. I think that's pretty much the track for, so we're really trying to build a triple threat for the students. So they start at the beginning, they have 6 semesters out of the 8 that they would be there that are required for dance, but the last year it's set up so that they can also audit, so that they can have dance every single semester as well. Also, oh, I didn't mention voice lessons. So they also would have voice lessons, obviously, for all 4 years. And in addition, what we also do is, which is kind of unusual, they, in addition to our voice teachers, they also have 10 sessions per semester with a voice coach. pianist, where they can also run material that's in their book or whatever they're working on in their voice lessons or music theater classes. So that's kind of unique with our program that we also offer that.
Mm-hmm. So just to clarify for people who are listening, a voice lesson is more the technical side and building your voice and production. And then a voice coach is someone to teach and run material so you're not wasting your voice lesson time doing that. Is that correct?
That's 100% correct.
Oh, good. I'm glad I still remember. Awesome. So, great. That's first year. And then just sort of give us an overview the remaining 3 years there. What does the track look like for them?
Well, we are definitely not a music theater light program. So they continue that acting training going into acting two. In their junior year, they would have acting three. In addition, there's other acting classes, as I mentioned. Audition techniques is really an extension, I believe, of their acting classes. The dance sequence is set up so that they begin with ballet, then jazz, then modern, tap, and then two semesters of dance combo, which again can be audited for the senior year as well, so they can have it all 4 years. Obviously voice lessons, that would continue. We also offer some classes that are electives, but usually our students can work it in so they can get some of those electives, which would be classes like acting for the camera, which I also teach sometimes, but my schedule doesn't really permit it to do it as much. We also offer Meisner acting technique for a semester. And then our students are also required to do Theater 300. And that's for 7 semesters, which means that it's a kind of unusual for our program. Our shows really have a really high level technically, and that's because our students are all contributing to that. So the students over those 7 semesters are required to take Tech 1, to take Costume Tech. And so they're working, but they're working in Theater 300, either building the sets, painting, working front of house, box office, sometimes on lighting, doing spot, in sound sometimes. So our students, music theater or performance, or obviously design tech, all of those students are working to have a stronger understanding. And because we believe that theater is a collaborative art form, and that's what makes it, you know, unique and fabulous, and has been difficult under the COVID situation. But that is also part of the track for the 4 years.
So you talked a lot about the extensive dance training there, and that's incredible. A question that we often get asked is, are students allowed to test up or level up in their dance when they arrive, or is it pretty much set which classes they'll be in which year?
It's pretty much set. Because we're not dealing in numbers, we choose to keep it 16 per incoming class. So with that 16, we don't have multiple levels. We're not bringing in, 60, 100 people for each class. So we don't really have that luxury. Mm-hmm. So that is not leveled. Those are all the same. However, a student can choose to, you know, audit a class afterwards if they would like to. But that's how the dance program for us is structured.
Great. And what about any other abilities to test out or level up, like in music theory or anything, if they're coming in with credits?
That happens sometimes. That. Particularly, maybe, well, for the first semester, sometimes somebody can test out of music theory. Well, we call it musicianship. But Justin has a really unique way of teaching it. And so even someone coming in with a lot of music theory, there's still benefits for them to take the second semester of musicianship. And so usually that happens. As far as testing out a dance, we don't really do that, because I think that whether you're advanced, you can, or you're beginning, you're still going to benefit from doing a ballet bar. You're still going to be benefiting from dancing every single day. And I think sometimes music theater students can underestimate the amount of dance that you might have to have after you graduate. And so we want to give them as much experience in that as they possibly can receive.
Great. Great. Let's talk now about performance opportunities during their 4 years there, starting right again with freshman year.
Yeah. So we allow our freshmen to, in fact, they're required to audition and perform as cast. Sometimes the freshmen may not get cast right away. Sometimes they do. It really just depends on what the season is. We do 6 main stage shows per year. In addition to the 6 main stage shows that are professionally directed, then we also do 1X, which is a part of a directing class that is also an elective, and many of our students choose, if they have an interest in that, to maybe take that as an upper level class. And so if you're not cast in one of the main stage shows, then there's also, you're also required to audition for the 1X, and that's also an additional performance opportunity. So we usually do 3 musicals out of the 6. Sometimes it's 2 and 4, you know, it really depends on the season. But most of our music theater students get cast either in a musical or a straight play. It's unusual at this point for them not to get cast at some level each semester, because we keep our numbers lower. And we also try to do shows that are going to allow for, you know, a lot of opportunities. We also cast understudies so that we can get the students in the room and learning from the directors and choreographers. So there's a lot of performance opportunities. And our students walk out, because we're not Music Theater Light, they walk out with Shakespeare on their resume and Chekhov. So it's, I think, kind of unusual in that way.
Yeah, and let's talk about senior year too. What systems or programs do you have in place, like a senior showcase or a way to sort of introduce them to that, to the industry, and get them their first paying jobs?
Yeah, so we do, because I worked in the business for a lot of years, and because a lot of my colleagues have, we have a lot of connections with agents and casting directors. So we have done, you know, a New York City showcase for a number of years. Last year, because of COVID, I had to think outside the box, and we actually did one-on-ones. So the students had, they were required to not only do their own websites, which is part of the transition workshop, they have to have all of that in place, but they also have to have their reels in place. So the reels were sent to all the casting directors and agents. They watched them, and then the students had 10-minute one-on-ones with people like Tara Rubin, Michael Cassara, just, you know, top industry people. And it was a different way. I think we may keep that and try to do that in addition to the actual in-person showcase that we're hoping to do in the spring. But that's to be determined as COVID unravels.
Yeah. So Western Connecticut State University obviously is a large university that has several different offerings other than the performing arts. So what is the opportunity for students to either minor or perhaps double major in other things?
It really depends. It's a pretty rigid program. I say that it's a conservatory-esque training within a liberal arts setting. It's an 80-40, so it's 80 credits within your major and then 40 credits outside. So it all depends on how many AP credits they may have come in with. So if they have come in and or test out of certain requirements, that sets them up to do a minor. And so sometimes our students are able to work that in, and we support that fully if they can. It doesn't stop them from still being required to audition and perform as cast, but it is a possibility to do that, and some of our students do minor.
And what about minors within the performing arts? Is there a dance minor? Is there a film or anything like that?
There's not. Occasionally it can work out to do a perhaps a design tech or costume minor or a management. We also have a stage management track. And so sometimes students will go that route. But there is no film minor. We do offer the acting for the camera. And we are starting to do that every semester, actually.
Great. Now, you mentioned in passing some names of some of your incredible faculty that you have there, with all that have extensive Broadway credits in their own right. But if you could please now just chat a little bit more about some of the other faculty that the students will come into contact with on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, so in addition to me and Justin, some faculty that have, you know, pretty high profiles in the business. We have John Hickok that is on our faculty and teaches Meisner. John continues to have an extensive professional career, but perhaps most notably, he was in Aida on Broadway. He played the governor in Parade on Broadway. Some heavy duty acting credits for him. We have Elizabeth Parkinson, who is very well known. She has a shoe named after her in the Broadway community. She won the Drama Desk for Twyla Tharp and Billy Joel's Moving Out on Broadway. Mm-hmm. And we also have Scott Wise, who has 3 Tony nominations and one for Jerome Robbins Broadway several years ago. Marianne Lamb, who I mentioned before, who was in Flossie and many other Broadway shows. We have Liz Popiel, who's one of our full-time faculty, who you will have to have some classes with as well, but in the design tech. And she has an Emmy Award and currently still works for Good Morning America. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the faculty that we're really very proud of. But Justin Cowan, who's again my colleague, works a lot professionally within the year because we're close to New York, as well as as well as maintaining his academic requirements here.
Right. Great. So let's chat a little bit about the area that the school is in. As you mentioned, it's just about an hour outside of Manhattan. But as I always say on the podcast, eventually the students are probably going to want to leave the campus and do some things in the area. So can you chat a little bit about what sort of student life looks like in the area that the school's in and on and off campus?
Yeah. So there's the area that we are located is on the West Side campus, which is the newer part of WestCon. So there's the main campus and then there's a West Side campus and there's a shuttle that goes back and forth that's about 10 minutes in between. So on the West Side campus, it's actually up on a hill. There's a beautiful concert park right next to it. There's dorms right there, so most of our students are able to get into the dorms there as well. In addition, there are a number of opportunities near our campus for other performance opportunities. But as far as the college life, I mean, it's basically a small college town. And so all that goes with that. We have developed a really strong connection with a lot of the Equity Connecticut theaters. And so places like Connecticut Rep, where Terrence Mann is the artistic director, they come to us each year and they've hired students in the last 4 years since they've been coming every single year. We also have, there's a new Equity Theater that's getting a lot of buzz, which is ACT of Connecticut. And that we have almost a residency kind of program there with them. They hire a lot of our students, not only to perform, but also pay them nicely to work front of house or backstage props. So we have a strong connection there, as well as Sharon Playhouse and a number of theaters. So there are opportunities to start to build in the summer performance opportunities, in addition to being able to take a train in or drive into the city, which is, depending on which you take, an hour to an hour and a half. So the good part about all of that is that if the students are available, they can go in, they can see a Broadway show, they can keep that connection to New York and start to build it without the pressure of maybe having to be in New York while you're trying to get your education. Mm-hmm. So we have a competitive program, but it's also it's a competitive program, but it's also a supportive program and a safe place for our students to really learn their craft.
Yeah, great. Let's switch gears now and talk about the audition process, which has changed what it looks like a little bit last year. But are you back basically to before times audition policies?
That's the plan.
Okay.
Again, it's always a day by day right now.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah, we are having we're part of the Paper Mill Common
Pre-Screen.
Yes, thank you. So we take part in that. So we do require a pre-screen. Mm-hmm. We also go to a number of other auditions. The Cap United, Florida Combined auditions will be at. But then if you are invited from the pre-screen or from us seeing you at either me doing a masterclass someplace else or one of the other auditions that we haven't done a pre-screen for, then we would invite you to campus because we think it's really important for our students to actually come and see the facility, because once they do and they meet the students and kind of get the vibe, then people are like turned around, because we don't have the longevity of a school like Carnegie Mellon and so forth. And so once they see it and see what's going on, then they're like, oh, okay. So we probably narrow it down to seeing about 100 in person through having gone through the pre-screen. And those dates are on our website, and you would be invited after doing the pre-screen to come to campus to do that in a live audition.
Sure. So about how many pre-screens do you receive every year?
I would say between the auditions that I go to and the pre-screens, it's probably, I would say probably around 450, mm-hmm. 500 total.
And then just to clarify, if they are auditioning at our auditions, the Florida Combined Auditions or CAP or any of the others that you do, is that the final audition because they've already sent a pre-screen in, or are they invited to come to campus after that?
What usually happens that with some of these, like with CAP, we're not requiring a pre-screen to see them. So I'm looking at that as the pre-screen. Sure. And then in most instances, and sometimes someone will be offered without that, but right. we like for everyone to be able to come to the campus so that the pre-screen can be in many forms, and then we would ask them to come to the campus, and then they would do a live dance audition. And I also have a short interview process that I do with the students, mainly because we really, I know that other places say this, but we really are a family, and we are a small program. So I want to know that whoever we're going to be working with is going to feel like a good fit, and they're going to work well with the other students and with the faculty. And so it's just to get that kind of vibe, because sometimes someone could be really talented, but you know, it just may not be the right fit.
All right, so since you do pre-screen and you're sending students on to live auditions from their pre-screens, what qualities are you looking for in a student in order to pass them on to that next step?
Yeah. You know, that's an interesting question, and you know, students are always trying to figure out what that special ingredient is, and sometimes you can't really put your finger on it. You want someone obviously to come in very prepared and professional, but my personal motto for the program, and now has become for our entire department, is be the best you. And I believe that when you're the best you, and that means a lot of different things, then there is no competition in the room. So we're not a cookie cutter school. We're looking for all types. We look at it as almost like a regional theater so that we have a variety of actors. I believe that there's a place for everybody in the business. So some schools are looking for more specific types, and those people can launch right into, you know, choruses or ensembles of Broadway shows. But we really are doing more to train the actor more fully in that way. So as far as what I'm looking for, I'm looking for someone to just be their authentic self. And then I can figure out where they belong in the business. So that's really what I can offer for that.
Great. So one of my last questions for you today, Tim, what are some things that you are looking forward to in this coming school year?
Well, I'm looking forward. We are back in person. Everyone's required to be vaccinated, so we're back. We did 9 remote productions last year. Yeah. But we're all thrilled because we are back in person, and we will be performing. We have 6 main stage shows again this year. I'll be directing. I'm the most excited, obviously. I'm finally going to be directing Sweeney Todd. And so I'll be doing that in the spring. But we're opening our season with Head Over Heels, which is the Go-Go's musical, mm-hmm. and is really charming and directed and choreographed by Scott Wise and Elizabeth Parkinson. And that's going to be followed by a really unusual and interesting kind of chamber musical called Melancholy Play, which is by Sarah Rule. And Justin Cowan is gonna be directing and music directing that. And then our last show of the fall is Noises Off. And so that'll be fun to just have a farce to end our fall semester. So those are some of the things that I'm looking forward to so far.
Yeah. Tim, you've shared so much great information with us today about your program. If students or parents are interested in finding out anything more, what's the best way to get in touch?
They can go to the WCSU Theater website, and there's a tab there for musical theater. It has all the information about the audition process. There's also an email there. I believe it's MT Auditions. But it is on that website, and they can email me there. My personal email is also howardt@wcsu.edu, and they could contact me, but it's a little bit faster if they just go to MT Auditions mm-hmm. on that page. And I also have 2 BFA assistants who also can answer questions, and sometimes people want to ask a question to a student rather than to me, so they can feel like they can get the tea.
Right.
And so so that's also an option as well.
Great. Well, Tim, thank you so much for sitting down and chatting with me today. It's always great to see you, and we look forward to having you back here with some workshops and seeing you at the Florida Combined Auditions in January.
That'll be great. Thank you so much for having me, Tim.
Thank you. You have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Mm-hmm.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and masterclasses offered by The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.